Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to this episode of the Girls on Games podcast. Leah is away. It's her turn to travel. She's in beautiful, sunny Mexico. I am Catherine. I am back from my European escapade. And today I am joined by Joelle. How are you?
Hello, hello, good. So how would you greet someone when you were, how would you say hello when you were in Holland? You just say hello.
They say hi.
Oh, all right.
I've learned that Dutch is like very close to English. It's very close to German and very close to it. So they said hi or hallo with an A.
Oh,
from what I remember.
Hallo.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Missed you.
Thank you. Let's do a bit of housekeeping. Or should I tell you what we're going to talk about this week? I haven't done this in a hot minute. This week, we've got like two little things we want to talk about. We're going to go over the BAFTAs because they do have a gaming section. And spoiler alert, Baldur's Gate 3 kind of swept the floor.
Deserved.
And because it is very much, I think, on topic for us, we want to chat about games to play while traveling. Maybe snackable experiences, offline games, if you're playing on the plane. So that's what we'll chat about this week. But I want to remind you that if you like this show, you can subscribe to have it auto-downloaded every week. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. If you use one of them fancy podcast aggregator we don't know about, the link to the RSS feed is also on girlsongames.ca. You can get merch if you want at designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. Gets a nice little logo on a t-shirt. And we do have a Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/girlsongames if you want to buy us a coffee, give us a tip. So yeah. Joelle, what did you do while I was away?
Oh man, let's see here. This last week was, so I had a big roller coaster of a weekend because I went and got a massage late on Friday, and it was excellent. I splurged and got the
90-minute one?
Yeah, and like the foot scrub and the hot towel on the feet and then the hot stone. So, like, I was a noodle the rest of the evening. And this was a first experience for my boyfriend. I'm like, I'm going to go get a massage, and then I'm going to be useless, like, the rest of the day. Like, do not expect anything from me, like, when I get back. And, you know, and if you wouldn't mind, you know, please take care of, like, what you want to eat or whatever, because I will be on the couch, unable to do anything. And I think he thought I was, like, being low-key dramatic of, like, all right, like, you're preparing me for the worst, but, like, it's just the God's honest truth. Like, I get home, and I just, like, get on the couch, and I'm, like, I'm in such a zen state. So I was so relaxed. And then on Saturday, it was beautiful in Minnesota. It was so gorgeous. And, you know, we don't have that many times of the year where it's, you know, kind of perfect weather, like t-shirt and no bugs. So we decided to go on a hike, and I thought that we would go on like 4 miles, you know, like no big deal. We went to a park in Wisconsin, and it was a route I had done before, but I probably blocked it out because I was traumatized. But we ended up going 8 miles on this this hike.
8 miles. That's like what, like 12 kilometers? Yeah, 12.8.
It was very far. And I was like, oh no. And it was not flat. It was roly poly. Halfway through, we ran out of water. Because we didn't think we'd go that long. So poor planning on our part. So we were just like so over it, you know, when we got done. And thankfully, like everything was okay. Like I like to fill up my water bottle with ice and then mm-hmm. the water. And mm-hmm. so thank God I did that because we were munching on those ice chips for the rest of the time. So I had my massage. I was a bit of a... you know, of a noodle. And then I went into this extraordinary hike. And so on Sunday, I was like, I can't, like, I don't want to do anything, man. Like, I'm so fried. Like, my body is like, what the fuck did you just do to me? But I had to go to the gym to do my physical therapy stuff for my back. And so I did that. And then, like, today, I was like, I can't. I can type, and that's it. So I... was just kind of a roller coaster of physicality for me over the weekend. So I don't recommend what I did. I would have preferred probably to do the hike and then get a massage.
Yeah, I was going to say, why did you front load with the massage?
We didn't plan. It was spur of the moment. And again, I don't remember it being that unpleasant last time I went. I totally forgot how long it was. But it was, yeah, a really long-ass hike. So I was just out and about and outside and touched a lot of grass. And then I was like, I don't want to be outside now for a little bit. I'm good. So that was my weekend. So. Yeah. Have you recovered or are you still?
I'm going to say today's the first day I don't feel affected by jet lag. Like we're recording, it's 8 p.m. my time and I'm still wide awake. So there's that. And this morning I managed to sleep well past 6 a.m. Yeah, because that's the thing is like I was in the Netherlands and they're like 6 hours ahead. So, you know. You try to like, I'll stay awake and, you know, I'll be able to sleep. But your body just kind of like wakes up on its own at 4 a.m. thinking it's like almost 10 and you've slept in. And I'm just like,
yeah,
that's the struggle. But we came back on Wednesday. Just coming back is usually funny. Like it's just like time zones, right? Mm-hmm. We came back, we left the Netherlands on Wednesday at 4 p.m. at 3 p.m. and we landed in Montreal on Wednesday at 5 p.m.
You time traveled.
You know, like you're wobbling off after like 6.5 hours on an airplane mm-hmm. and it's fucking 5, like, and you're just like, oh god, your yeah. body thinks it's like almost bedtime.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I come back for maple pollen season, which I'm allergic to. So my allergies kicked in. Funny story. I had no allergies in Europe. It's like I was supposed to live there. I'm starting to the realization that allergies is the price to pay for colonization.
Yeah, it's just pretty much allergies, like
yeah,
and Mitch Shyamalan with his
because like yeah. I could breathe through my nose for free in Europe, mm-hmm. But yeah, and then on Saturday night it was my friend's birthday party. His birthday is in like February, but like because of scheduling and he wanted to do a big thing, we went to L'Auberge du Dragon Rouge in Montreal, which is a restaurant, a medieval themed restaurant. So it's not like medieval times with like, with the big thing. It's really like, yeah. It's a small building. Like there's no room in Montreal for people to do jousting unless you're like doing it. Like,
oh, okay. I was like, oh, you went to medieval times.
No, it's basically medieval times with just the dinner. So, you know, the decor is medieval. Mm-hmm. You have like the everybody's in character, and you have like bards singing, drinking songs, usually with a lot of sexual connotations or things like that. But it's a good time, and you know, it's entertaining. Like, you know, like our waiter comes over and he's like, "Hey, my name is Gaspar," and it's just like, "I'll be taking care of you tonight. Like, if you want anything, it's just, it could be like, you can call my name, you can call me, hey, curly hair, come over here, like, curly hair, tall guy, skinny guy, or just like, I'm thirsty, and I'll come over." And all that done with an old-timey accent. It's great. We used to go there at least once a year before the pandemic, and that was our first time since the pandemic. It was a lot of fun, and you know, our dinner was at 8:30, and I looked at my spouse, and I'm just like, with our jet lag, I'm like, how are we going to make it?
Yeah.
Like, this evening is going to end at midnight.
Oh, and, no.
And I think it kind of helped cure jet lag, because, like, we were wide awake because, well, I took a nap in the afternoon because my sinuses were killing me, and I was just like, I'll just have an Advil, have a bit of a lie down. And we had a coffee late afternoon. We're like, maybe we'll be good. And we lasted. But like, once we got home, I crashed. And I was still wide awake at 6 a.m. And I was like, motherfucker.
Can't win. I'm not fully there yet.
But it took like, I guess, like yesterday of like kind of like, I woke up and I was like, I didn't drink that much, but I feel completely hungover. And I think it was a mix of the jet lag, the drinking, the food, the allergies. But yeah.
Yeah.
And as for the trip itself, it was wonderful. Y'all just head to my Instagram to see the photos. But I saw tulips. We went in various villages. I ate a shit ton of cheese, drank a bunch of wine, had good food, walked around Amsterdam, discovered all of North Holland, biked to a village, came back with 30 kilometers winds in our faces, and I had to walk back because I couldn't bike. So that was a thing. We were getting like, old ladies on their bikes were passing us and we couldn't bike. And I was just like, you have like the wind in your face. Like, I think some of them were on electric bikes. Like, I should have rented the electric bikes instead of the regular bikes. Like, this was my hubris. But yeah, such a wonderful, wonderful trip. Sometimes it's just good to disconnect and think about something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have like a favorite, like, top spot that like you're just like, oh, this is so incredible?
If you go to Amsterdam, do a boat ride on the canal. We did a small one. We had a skipper and some teenager just telling us stuff about the city in English. But I know, like, you have they were called the Lover's Cruise, where you had, like, they were pretty big boats and you could sit and they had headphones and then you could hear an audio guide in different languages. We went with the cheaper option for, like, 20 euros. They gave us a drink, like a beer or some wine. I grabbed a soda because I was like, there's a good chance I'm going to be sick on this thing. But I wasn't finally. Like, honestly, I get a lot of motion sickness. I was fine on the boat. Probably because it was a smaller boat and everything was open.
Oh, yeah.
So you can look around and you can see. I took a lot of photos. Like, honestly, the canal boat ride to discover, like, just, like, see the big sights of Amsterdam. 20 euros, 1 hour. Amazing. My favorite thing would have been the Van Gogh Museum if I could have gotten tickets. We found out, because we wanted to like plan our tickets according to the weather, because like the Netherlands is very windy, very rainy, especially in the spring. So we didn't want to like have the one sunny day spend it indoors. But we found out that for Anne Frank House and the Van Gogh Museum, you have to basically book your tickets online 3 weeks in advance, 3 to 4 weeks in advance.
Okay.
So we got there and we were there for 10 days and they were already sold out for those 10 days.
And you couldn't like do like a cancellation or a wait list, right? They're just like,
no.
No, you better. Okay.
Yeah. So the good thing about Europe is She's small. So if I go in the vicinity, like if I were to go to Germany or France, it would be easy to like grab a train to do a day trip to Amsterdam to go to that museum and come back. It would be easy and cheap. Mm-hmm. Because like we wanted to possibly, but it got too expensive because we would have needed like another hotel and whatever. But my mother-in-law was playing with the idea of us finishing the trip in Brussels, Belgium, mm-hmm. because from Amsterdam to Brussels, it's a 3-hour drive. And to give some context to people that are not from Canada, driving to Montreal all the way to Toronto, so where I am to go see Leah in Toronto, is a 6-hour drive. It takes me longer to drive to Toronto than it is to fly to the Netherlands.
Yeah, it's a big continent.
Yeah.
Got lots of road to traverse.
This is the same fucking country. Mm-hmm. So when I got that sense of size, I was like, okay, so coming back to Amsterdam on a different European trip is no big deal. Like, it is a lot of, like, time and money to go to Europe. But once you're in Europe, like, now I get why. I get Europeans being like, oh, I'm planning a trip to New York. You think I can swing by Montreal and then go see Niagara Falls? Because it's kind of, like, close-ish. And I'm just like, what the fuck? No.
No.
I mean, New York, Boston, yeah, because it's the tri-state area. But I'm like, that's fucking it, my guy. Like,
yeah. Well,
like, you don't have the money for the airfare or the time to try. Like, I'm just like, and then once I was in Europe and, you know, every day we did a different part of the country and we saw like half of Holland. Like, we literally saw half of the Netherlands by just doing day trips here and there. Wild. And I'm just like, okay, I get it now. Like, Europe is small and it's like a lot of trips are once in a lifetime opportunities, but like I now also understand why a lot of people did the backpacking through Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like everything, it's like such small countries.
And it's so, they make it so densely. Easy. Like, even though you are in a different culture and language and stuff, like they do make it like just so convenient to go between and to fly or to train. And like when I studied abroad when I was in college, like I was pretty dumbfounded at how easy and cheap it was back then, you know. We're talking about in 2008, like of how easy it was. So yeah, it's it's like, oh, I see why now people are like, American, you know, public transportation sucks. And it's like, oh, that's true. Like,
yeah, we are a car first society.
We
and
sure
like
are.
I'm happy to be living in Montreal in a walkable city, but it's like, if you're not like Montreal, Toronto, or Vancouver, like you're not walking in North, like in Canada. And I know the United States is the same. Like, you got New York, that's walkable. I think that's about it.
Well, and even some places in Boston, like, were very walkable, but you also had that public transportation. But like in Minnesota, like there's some in Minneapolis proper, but like you get, you know, outside of that by any means and you pretty much have nothing.
Yeah. So
it's like, it's very hard to get around the state outside of just downtown Minneapolis, not even St. Paul, like Minneapolis. And they're just across the river from each other. Like, it's just so unfortunate.
Yeah, it is, because like we take the train a lot in Canada and it's just like every time. It's just when we're in Montreal, it's honky-dory. Once we get to our destination, it's like we feel like kids being like, can you come pick us up?
Yeah. Yeah. I need to get a ride.
And it's like, and my mom's like, yeah, I live close to the train station. It's just 20 minutes. And I realize it's like, but coming to pick me up the round trip is like 40 minutes. And she's like, Catherine, doing a round trip anywhere takes me 40 minutes to an hour. I live in the woods. I was like, okay.
I also feel like I never think about anything round trip. I always think about only how long it will take me to get there and not really how long it's going to take me to get back. Of just like, oh, if I want to go to this place, oh, it's only like a 15-minute drive. And I don't think about the fact that it's, you know,
you
got to
come back.
You got to come back. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to come back.
Yeah, like when you live out a little bit further out from the cities, like, when it would take me 30 minutes to go run errands, like, that was annoying because it was a whole day thing. Like, it's 30 minutes to go. You do all your errands. You got to come all the way back. That's an hour. And you take a few hours. So it's easily eats up. Easily. Yeah. And so I love where I live now because it takes me 5 minutes to get to places. And I'm just like, I can run so many errands during a day and still have my whole day. But yeah, I never think about the whole thing. I just think about what it will take to get me there. But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all that to say that I had a wonderful trip.
Great. And I'm glad that you were safe and that you had a good time and good travels and learned your biking capacity.
Listen, they say, well, it's like riding a bike. It was true because I haven't ridden a bike in like at least like 20 years. But most North American kid, like before getting my driver's license, the bike was essential to getting anywhere because everywhere is far. Right. So I remembered, although my muscles the next day were like, you fucking bitch. And one of the reasons I didn't fight against the wind when we had it in our face was because of my back and my leg. I was like, I am not getting sciatica.
Yeah, not
in
worth
Europe.
It. Not worth it.
Yeah. And honestly, the worst thing that I had for that was the bike and just like sitting in a plane for 6 hours without being able to really get up and walk around. Mm-hmm. I did not have the hubris to push. I was just like, I looked at my spouse, I looked at his sister, and I was like, if you guys want to go, I'm going to walk because I can't. I felt it like if I felt it a bit in my leg and that's it. It's done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not.
Don't mess with it. No.
Exactly. I'm not pedaling anymore unless the back is in my is not like unless the wind is in my back or is not completely in my face. Yeah. So I had to walk back from and it took like an instead of taking like 30 minutes by bike, it took almost an hour and 15 minutes of walking because it was even hard to walk. The wind was so strong.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, yeah. the wind is so persistent. It never stops. Yeah, never stops.
It never fails. It never stops. So, yeah, that was our little experience with that.
Did they drop you or did they walk with you?
No, because we had the only card for our complex and we weren't staying in Amsterdam proper. We were like out in the burbs in a thing called Europarks, which is like little cottages that you can rent. Mm-hmm. And they had like a comp in the middle. They had like all the cottages in the middle. They had a marina where people can just boat up to there because it's the fucking Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And around the marina, they had like apartments. Mm. And we rented an apartment because it was cheaper. But like that's also the card that you need to like be able to drive out of the place. Mm. And we had left with it because my mother-in-law got the flu while we were there. And the day we went biking was because she was like so out of it and feverish. So we left her to sleep, but like we needed to go to the grocery store to get stuff for breakfast. And she was like, when I wake up, I'll go. But we had left with the card. And now that was like, we were realizing it was taking us twice as long to get back. My spouse was like, well, give me the card. And, you know, he could kind of bike with his giant legs because he's a power lifter. Uh-huh. And he does bike around Montreal in the summer. So, you know, and Montreal is not like a flat situation. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I can do this. So I gave him the card so that he could get there in case his mother wanted to leave. And he's like, and I'll stay and open the door for you guys. And he said that like even halfway through he had to stop.
Mm. Oh.
So I walked with my sister-in-law because like she couldn't either. Like it was just like
brutal. It is brutal.
It was brutal. Yeah. And it was not very light bikes. Like, you know, it was rentals.
Well, that's when you were like, against the wind. I'm like, oh, I bet you're riding like these heavy ass steel.
Yeah.
Steel.
They're
bikes.
Like cruiser bikes. Yeah.
For just the that you rent and like, yeah.
So if I can give you like one piece of advice, if you ever go to the Netherlands and you want a bike and it's windy, just get the electric bikes, like the e-bikes. Like, fuck your ego. Or fuck the experience of, like, the through Nellis. Like, they're used to it. You are not.
Yeah.
It's like, they sold it to me. It's flat. You can bike everywhere. Yeah, you didn't tell me I would have, like,
the
fucking
wind.
Yeah. But, yeah. Moving on, like Fantasy League. I don't have the back end to give a proper update.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's been a ton because I don't think Leah did anything before she left. Yeah, did you pick anything up? Like,
I didn't because I have like so I have no points, but I have like so many games that are supposed to come out like in the either this summer or fall.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of like waiting to see what happens with the what used to be E3 period, you know, like with the announcements and all that jazz. So I'm kind of like trying to keep some slots and money for that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Leah is crushing it so far.
But she has the most published games, though.
Yeah, she does. It's true. And she had pretty good picks there. Yeah. She also has the most slots left to fill. But the next game that's coming out is at the end of the month, so in less than 10 days, Tales of Kinzira Zao. Oh, hold on. Wow, pardon me, yo.
And you have that one.
I do have that one. And then you, Kat, will have your time of Senua Saga's Hellblade 2,
yeah,
which will come out at the end of May, so...
Yeah, I have, like, a lot of stuff that's, like, not coming out for a whole second.
Mm-hmm. And then on the community piece, if we don't have the back end, so it's hard to tell if anyone picked anything up. So we might leave it to Leah, maybe, to recap when we get her back.
Yeah, but it's still, like, the top three is still Darth, Pat, and Offshore Meteor.
Yep.
They're still, like, sitting there. But, yeah, and I think a lot of people still have a lot of slots in the Girls on Games one as well, except for, like, Pugs and Pixels that only has one left.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple Orchid Games has two spots left, and Ross Cool Games for Attractive People has like two spots, like Pat and Leah, Zhang Pao, Alba. They have a lot of spots left. But yeah, we don't have like the back end, so we can't say who picked up what and what bids were made. We can just kind of like look at the site and be like, cool. Good job, guys.
Yeah, yeah. They do have Final Fantasy 16, The Rising Tide, coming out on the 18th. Zhang Pao has that one. So we'll see some movement next week for
that. And Tales of Kinzera, like Leah has that one in the Girls on Games community one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's see if there's... It's new gaming franchised. There's a little bit of hype factor around it, so we'll see how it does. I almost dropped it and then decided to be brave, and so I kept it. So,
I mean, for the podcast one, it's just the three of us. So
yeah, I know. I was like, well,
it's good. Really like different type of competition compared to the community one when you have like eight teams, right?
Yeah. I was like, I have a little wiggle room, like in case, but I don't know. I'm a little traumatized from the Gollum. I feel like the Gollum one was
that was a hit.
It was enough to leave a mark. So yeah.
And speaking of games, where are you playing?
Yeah, so I was a lucky lady, and I ended up getting a code for Princess Peach Showtime. So my journey with Peach really has just begun. I know I talked about the demo that I played a few weeks back or last pod, and I had a great time and kind of, you know, unplanned, like the day after we recorded, Leah asked if I wanted a code, and I said I did because I had so much fun with the demo. And I probably would have picked the game up on a sale anyway. So I just thought, I'll take it and play the full thing. And I am not disappointed. It is a really good time. So I am almost finished and I should have that a full review ready for next week. But thanks, Nintendo, for the code.
Nice.
What about you?
Well, I couldn't play Coral Island, that's for sure. I also started a new game that I will fully review next week because I got Horizon Forbidden West Complete Edition on PC.
Sick.
The wonderful people from Sony sent it to us just as I was like packing my bags. Yeah. I was like, cool. I got like maybe 2 hours in, like I did the little tutorial area, you know, when you try to go to the data center and stuff. And then, like, I just started the point where you go back to the main big city, which is Meridian, mm-hmm. I think it's called. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I've got, like, two hours in because, like, I thought I would have more time when I came back from my trip. But just, like, so the 20 loads of laundry and the doing the groceries and just the dinner with my friends, and it's just like,
yeah, just trying to get back to it is,
yeah. I didn't have like the mental capacity to play a lot because I was just so tired. So but I'm gonna be playing that on and off next week. Other than that, I played Oxenfree.
Did you finish it? Game.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I got it on my iPad because you can get it through your Netflix subscription. Nice. The Netflix games. Because there are a Netflix studio, like Night School. There are Netflix. So I installed that on my iPad, and it was what I played like when we were chilling in the evening after visiting. And honestly, like it's poopy-ish, but it's not very horror. Mm-hmm. But it was really fun. It definitely plays like an interactive novel, a bit like Until Dawn. Like it's more like about the story and the conversations you have and making these decisions. And there's a lot of replay value in playing again to make different decisions and see what else you can find out about the characters and whatnot. Bit of puzzles, bit of exploration, but it plays really well. Like, on mobile. Mm-hmm. Especially since I got a 12-inch iPad Pro from 2019, so it's got like this giant screen, like it's just
yeah,
massive, right? And like definitely play with headphones because it's really like the audio is a big key to it in general, and there's like a lot of dialogue, and the dialogue's good and the actors are good, and it's very, it's not like horror. It's very atmospheric thriller. Definitely less scary than like Control. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Cause somebody told me it was like, yeah, I didn't think he played horror games. I was like, it's not a horror game. I mean, there's like weird stuff happening. It's paranormal.
Yeah, it's paranormal. Mm-hmm. Thriller.
It's X-Files-ish. But it's not scary in that sense. Like it, I guess the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night is more like stuff like the Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
And not like the human horror of it, like people, you know, the survivor making people, turning people into, it's like really the zombies, like the clicker sounds and shit like that. I'm like, no thanks. Paranormal stuff, if it's like more like thriller and more like intellectual stuff and
mm-hmm.
mind games, I can do. And so Oxenfree was really good. Like, I fully recommend it. And it takes like, I guess, I want to say 5 hours, 5 to 8 hours to play. It's about the length of Firewatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. I know, like, I'm late to that game. Because it's been out for a while. But I was just sitting in the hotel and I was just like, I don't know what to do. And I went and I remember Netflix had games and I went mm-hmm. in that section and I saw Oxenfree and I was like, I should have played this like fucking 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. That's what I played.
Yeah, it seems like the perfect time to play like that kind of game. You're like, oh, I missed it, so I'm going to be interested and I want to pick it up. But
yeah.
Also, like, no pressure for me to finish this anytime soon because it's a game that's been tried and true and out. So
yeah, and I figured it's probably something I could finish on the airplane if ever he gets to that.
Mm-hmm.
I had the hubris of thinking that I would be awake and conscious enough to play a game on the airplane, but no. For context, I am airsick, so I do take the airsickness stuff, like the gravels, and they kind of knock you out. So I just kind of put on music and wait for the plane to land is basically what I do. But yeah, loved it. And I think there's a new one. They were like announcing like Oxenfree Lost Signals.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's out, but I'm interested in possibly playing it.
It did release last July.
Last July.
Yep.
So I don't know if it's a continuation of the story or if it's just the same kind of it's just in the same universe.
A quick Google tells me that it's a standalone from its predecessor. But okay. I think if you play Oxenfree, you'll have a greater understanding of like, you know, pre-events or maybe some game mechanics or who, like the setting, but it's just not necessary. It might be like a, it might enrich the experience, but it's not a must do.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll get around to it when I want a little palate cleanser between games.
Mm-hmm.
I like these kinds of games like Thirsty Suitors. Like I still have Venba I want to play. They're just great little palate cleanser after like, I'm going to need a palate cleanser after Horizon Forbidden West. Oh. I know that because it's the kind of game that you engross yourself in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I like having these little games in between.
Yeah.
And I'll eventually go back to Coral Island because I before I left, I managed to upgrade my house. And I have like two people, I think. I have a 3 hearts. So
okay, you're close.
Got the house, need the spouse.
Yep.
But we'll see once I'm on the other side of Horizon what happens and if I launch that game and I'm just like I am so fucking lost because I think I was like in the middle of spring too, so it's pretty hectic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Place to just stop playing a farming sim.
Yeah, it's like the most like important time to like set yourself up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so it's going to be a bit of a what happened? Maybe I'll need summer to reset so that I can get this going again.
Yep.
But yeah, in the I saw that the Stardew Valley update was out on PC. My spouse is playing it. I was just like, I can't. I can't play a start another Stardew Valley farm right now. Not when I'm not done Coral Island.
I was going to say, you can't cheat on Coral Island.
Not right now.
It just doesn't deserve that kind of diss. But
yeah, I've missed like at least 2 Stardew Valley updates. So the next time I play Stardew Valley, it's going to be a lot of content catch up for me.
It'll probably almost feel like a whole new game. It's like
honestly, yeah.
Like you're going to get a whole new experience of, a whole new experience going in.
And speaking of experience, I am terrible at these segues. Fuck, that's why we need Leah, but let's talk about the news.
Let's talk about the news.
We'll be right back. Okay, and on the news docket, we only have like one thing, really. It was the 20th BAFTA game, the 20th BAFTA, comma. But they also do games. I don't think it's the 20th time they give out awards for games. But it took place on April 11th. And I fucking missed it because I was busy. But essentially, the BAFTA is what the British Acting Animation... Oh my god, I just had a brain fart. What does the BAFTA... BAFTA stands... Or British Academy of Film and Television Arts. Thank you. Thank you, Google, because my brain was gone for a second. I think I was wrong in saying that the jet lag is gone. Every year, that's basically British Oscars, and now they do a video game section, and they have for a while. Like, I feel like it's at least the fifth year for games, game awards.
Yeah, and it happens. It looks like it happens previously, you know, like a pre-awards, like they'll do for, you know, other things like the Oscars. They'll do all these categories like the day before, or it's like a longer show. And so it looks like the BAFTAs, they do the game awards earlier. But if you go to YouTube, they have the full thing up, and they give it a lot of production quality. Like, there's a host and they have an opening and with jokes, and everyone's dressed up, and there are a lot of nominees that are attendance, like IRL. And so, yeah, the host actually was pretty good, I thought. I watched the first little bit of it. But honestly, my feed isn't up to BAFTA standards, because I didn't catch that it was coming. Otherwise, I probably would have had it on over the weekend. But yeah.
So they've been doing this since 2003. So it's been a while, but it got on my radar recently when they started doing. It got on my radar recently. I don't know why, but I feel like I've known about this for maybe the past 5 years. Probably because they got bigger, they got more visible, and online streams.
Yep.
We kind of got to saw it to see it, because 2003 kind of sounds like that was if you don't have cable, you can't see it.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you don't have the BBC, you can't see it.
Yep. And now there's just more access to stuff, and there's a whole. I didn't quite realize this, but you can. Get a whole British, you can subscribe to the BBC and get a whole British slew of stuff. I didn't know this, but people are you have to subscribe to the British channel. That's what people that in my circles call it, the British channel. And I'm I didn't know.
I mean, we watched while I was in the Netherlands, we watched the BBC to have coverage of the eclipse, because I missed the fucking eclipse.
Oh, man.
That thing happened while I was in Europe, and I don't get a lot of FOMO in life, but living somewhere where there was a full eclipse, that was, I got some FOMO for there, because my friend went to Gerry Park, which is near where I live, with his little glasses, and saw the full eclipse for 3 minutes.
That'd be so and, cool.
And I had to watch it on the BBC! Let's go through some of the... It's not a lot of awards. This is what I like about the BAFTA. It's they cut a few categories and they keep it under wraps. They're not trying to do the game awards where they're trying to get Oscar-worthy. This is part of an Oscar-type show, so they're just adding a few categories. So for animation, the winner was Hi-Fi Rush, which, I can see it. Mm-hmm. Very lively, very polished game. Artistic achievement, it was Alan Wake 2 that won that category. Over games Diablo 4 and Cocoon. So, really good. Alan Wake 2 also won audio achievement. Remedy games, the audio is part. It's paranormal, a bit spooky. The audio is a big part of what they do. So I can see why they won. Best game, Baldur's Gate 3.
Yep.
I mean, we could see that one coming. It was that or Spider-Man 2, honestly.
Yeah, pretty much. And, they have a lot of similar nominees as we do. Or as they did for the Game Awards. But I do like their categories a little bit better. It makes a little more sense, because you got these goofy categories at the Game Awards. So I like that it was artistic achievement. It's just
instead of art directions.
Yeah.
And then level design. I'm just but art direction, you mean just the overall aesthetic, like level design? Do you mean just like walking through a level? Because yeah. level design means also art. It's just like, sometimes the lines are blurry. This one, they're just like, hey, is your game like artistically pleasing? Cool.
It does make
more sense to keep them broader, I feel, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. if this is part of like a show that people tend to watch for more like the for like movies and TV shows, like yeah. more like mainstream media.
Yeah.
So games are still kind of niche for these types of audience. So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So if you want a game that's like really great in a category around animation or really artistic, best debut, like that kind of stuff. So yeah, I agree. I was like, I like these better.
Yeah. And they have a category for British game.
They do.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And Viewfinder won it. And then debut game went to Venba.
It's nice to see Venba win. That was good.
Yeah. And they won over like Dredge and Dave the Diver, like other like amazing games. Yes. So it's a beautiful little game. I need to play it.
It's so fun. I think you're going to have a really good time.
Yeah. Evolving game went to Cyberpunk. And they won over FF Online, Fortnite, Forza, Genshin Impact, and No Man's Sky. So probably because they had to put a lot of work to make that game run like it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they have a family category.
Yes.
It speaks to the type of the audience of like of the BAFTA and the, you know, how broad it is. Like
mm-hmm.
they're trying to find like just be like, you're watching this with your kids because they play the Fortnite and you're now you got to stuck watching the pre-show because you want to know who won like movie of the year. Here's a category that's going to make you like, you know, you're sitting there with the kids. You know you can trust these games. So the family game that won was Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which is honestly not a surprise. Although, like, Disney Illusion Island was a pretty good contender. And Hogwarts Legacy as well was in that category. But Mario won. They're good games. Game Beyond Entertainment, which I think it's the type of game that is I guess it's the type of game that has either edutainment games
mm-hmm.
or games that will have like a very strong political or societal message.
Mm-hmm.
Because the winner was Chia. And like if you look at the other nominees, you had Chance of Senar, Goodbye Volcano High, Terra Nil, Thirsty Suitors, and Venba. And I know, like, Thirsty Suitors and Venba talk a lot about, like, you know, like, third culture kids.
Yep.
And what it means, and family,
mm-hmm.
and being somewhere
new. Oh, yeah,
new,
it's going to tug on your heartstrings and kind of make you feel something. So,
yeah.
Yep, it's not going to be a, you know, well-designed, high-level... it's going to be beyond that of just like, yeah. you're not going to jump into, you know, Super Mario's Wonder and like have a lot of deep thoughts after. You're going to be like, that exactly. was fun. I disconnected my brain for a minute. I had some fun puzzles and that was it. But these games are like, you know, if you want to have an experience, an intellectual, like heart tugging experience, these are the games to play.
They have a game design category, which is like, I don't think we have that at the Game Awards, like an actual game design specific category. The winner was Dave the Diver. Amazing. I love seeing the smaller games win over stuff like The Legend of Zelda or Spider-Man 2. Not because like those games don't deserve it. It's just sometimes it's, you can tell that like when we share a love of smaller snackable games, it's just, they're good because they got like that. They fine tune one aspect of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, if you want a game that's good at this, you play this game, right? Yep. And you know, like Dave the Diver is basically, you have, it's a management sim game and an exploration game. It's basically the two mechanics. You dive and you find new species, and then you fish, and then you go and you manage your sushi restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, these are the two things they do. That's it. And it's not that deep, but it's a good gameplay loop.
Yeah, it has a chokehold on Leah at the moment. She loves it. And I did think that Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom also deserved to be in this category, given how they built upon, you know, the genius that was Breath of the Wild. And so in so many more ways than one, I think. So, you know, obviously well nominated there. But it did win, and, you know, deserved.
Multiplayer. Apparently Super Mario Brothers Wonder has multiplayer.
Yeah, you can play up to I think up to six. There's a lot of ways you can connect. Yeah.
So it's like it's chaos like that. Oh, yeah. That one on the Wii U was.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. Exactly. And
well, anyway. Mm-hmm. Take that, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
That's right. Yeah, you're not gonna win over the plumber, or Baldur's Gate 3, apparently, which I found a little surprising, I guess. But
yeah, it's like, and honestly, that or Party Animals. I'm happy that it's Mario Brothers or I would have been happy also for Party Animals to win, just because like sometimes it's about the good, like just the plain good fun, right? Unsurprisingly, Baldur's Gate 3 won music over like a bunch of, it's just AAA games in this category, like Alan Wake 2, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Legend of Zelda, Spider-Man 2, and Star Wars. And Baldur's Gate 1, like honestly, Baldur's Gate 3 has amazing music. It's very rare that I find music not annoying in games, especially like I find like for medieval games, sometimes they're trying to like lean too much into the medievalness of it. But Baldur's Gate was just like perfect. It was epic. It was there when you needed it. It wasn't there when you didn't want it. New intellectual property. Now this is a very interesting category. I love that. Just to be like a newcomer game, right? So Viewfinder is the one that won. And in the in that category, they had Chance of Sennar, Dave the Diver, Dredge, Hi-Fi Rush, and Jusant. So that's like a good category to find like your next best thing.
Yeah.
Something you've never heard about.
Even if you don't want to play the winner, or if you did play the winner, this is where I love to look at new games to put in my backlog, is like what won and what should I consider. So absolutely.
And they do have two categories for actors. So performer in a leading role, Najee Jeter of Spider-Man 2, who plays Miles Morales, won. Amazing. And performer in a supporting role, you love to hate him. I was Andrew Wincott as Raphael in Baldur's Gate 3. And Raphael is one of the bad guys. And that performance was... Like, I think next to Asterion was really good. And I think like all of these nominees are they British? I don't think so. No, because there's Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker. So no. But yeah, two well-deserved awards.
Yep. Don't have to be British to win.
No. Technical achievements. Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah.
Shocking.
I can see why.
I know. When I saw that, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, just that subreddit of Hyrule Engineering.
Yes.
Like, you need 5 minutes in that subreddit, and, like, the BAFTA judges have to be, why are we even looking at other games?
And the fact that it runs as well as it does on the Switch, too. I mean, it's like, I'm just like, okay. Yeah.
If you're having, like, any kind of slowdown on the Switch playing this game, it's not because of what you're building. No. It's rarely because it's just because there's too many grass blades in the background.
Pretty much. Like Princess Peach Showtime has longer load screens and like more downtime. Like I kind of forgot what it was like playing a game from the 2000s, but I'm like, oh yeah, I have to wait for loading. It's like, all right. So yeah.
And finally, the Player's Choice Award went to Baldur's Gate 3. Mm-hmm. They won over Cyberpunk, Fortnite, Legend of Zelda, Lethal Company, and Spider-Man 2. So yeah, those were the 2024 BAFTA winners. Congratulations to everybody that was nominated. Congratulations to the winners. And kind of sad I kind of missed this because I was traveling. One day I will sit down and watch the BAFTA because like it looks like a good snackable experience. Mm-hmm. Unlike the Game Awards where I'm just like, I cannot take 3 hours of Jeff.
Yep.
I'm going to be honest.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is definitely, I think, something to pick up and watch. Like I said, I just Googled searched BAFTAs in YouTube and it came up immediately. BAFTA video games and it came up immediately. It was about a little over 2 hours, I think. So, you know, something to turn on as you're doing chores or maybe as you're like going for a walk. So, yeah, good to check it out.
All right. So we got a little topic to chat about. Because we love long episodes at the Girls on Games.
We sure do.
So we'll be back after this break to talk about games to play while traveling. I need a break. Okay. And we're back. So let's talk games to play while traveling. Because, you know, like this year was like the year of the Steam Deck, mm-hmm. the ROG Ally. I forget what the Lenovo thing is called. But also
Lenovo
like,
Go.
Thank you. Also, but just mobile gaming in general yep. is so ubiquitous and it's become like full experiences as well as just like snackable little Candy Crush type thing. And what kind of spurred this topic in my head other than... I'm traveling, Leah fucked off to Mexico, is that I had this idea to play Rainbow Six Small while I was traveling, only to start it on the plane and realize I needed Wi-Fi to play this thing.
Oopsie.
And me being like, well, fuck me. So what we want to, I guess, suggest in the games for today are... snackable experiences, you know, kind of like low commitment. That's something that you can play to wind down at the end of your day or during a long flight. Hopefully offline in case you don't have your data. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, the Wi-Fi was shit where I was. And even if I wanted to play on a local data plan, like even the cell service was a bit spotty because we were like in a camping area type situation. We're a bit mm-hmm. remote. As remote as you can get in Europe, which is not very, but so and because I think like it's great to have things like the Steam Deck, but what good does it do if you're bringing it with you and you can't play what you want to play because you need an internet connection? And from what I've seen, a lot of single-player games that are sold on Steam can be played offline. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you have to be cognizant about is your cloud save.
Yep. And your battery life.
And the battery. Yes, yeah. The battery life.
But yeah, your cloud save. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think to start this topic, it's easy to say like anything on Switch.
Yeah.
I think is a safe bet.
Yep. Switch... like when I always think about traveling, like even though I have an Ally now, the first thing I think about is to pack my Switch because A, I know it's going to work. I know the battery life will be decent for, you know, any length amount of time. And I know that I don't need to worry about having a connection for most of them. So I typically will go to my Switch and a lot of times because I get so motion sick. So there's most of the games that I'll play when I'm traveling, if I do play, are games that are like short levels that I can take a break mm-hmm. from. So I'm just like, okay, I don't need to be paying attention to, you know, an open world game. That's going to be too much because that usually involves a lot of motion, a lot of looking around, the randomness, the RPG of, you know, enemies coming up or bosses or whatever. So even though, like, I love to, if I'm going to be on a long plane ride, I'll definitely fire back up Breath of the Wild because I know the game already and I can just go and kind of fuck off and do that. But if I'm going to be, like, for a shorter stint, especially in the car, I'll want to play a lot of puzzle games that have short levels that I can play for a few minutes. And if I need to take a break, I'll do that. And for me, when traveling, kind of dipping back into my either a game that I'm really familiar with so I can kind of unplug and not really worry about, or do a game in my backlog that I know is kind of short and sweet. So, you know, maybe I'll look at the Game Awards or the BAFTAs to get some inspiration of, like, what did really well that I could pick up for cheap or for free if you have a Game Pass, which is so convenient if you're traveling on the go. Like, we are spoiled. Like, this is the era of playing games on the go. And also, I don't traditionally love sim games if I'm at home. I just, they're really hard for me to focus on and pay attention to. I just find the repetitive of it so, and sometimes just really minute and kind of boring. But if I'm traveling and if I'm, like, stuck in a spot and I got the time, like, I'll farm the crap out of anything. So
yeah.
I do find myself, interestingly enough, like, when I'm traveling, I'll dip back into a sim and, you know, I'll want to play. And now I have the option, like, if I want to play Stardew Valley, I can. If I want to go back into Moonstone Island, I can also do that. So for me, because I'm, like, in a different state of mind and knowing that I really don't have much of a choice, I have to sit and be still, then I actually enjoy those sim games because I know I have time to kill, and what better way to do it than romancing and farming.
Definitely, and especially a game like Stardew Valley, that song, basically the Skyrim of farming sim, yes. Because it's...
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Like, what? Like, that's the best way to put it. It is the Skyrim.
It's on every platform. I think Leah has bought that game, like, four times. Like,
that's so funny.
She has it on PC, she has it on her iPad, she has it on her Switch, and she has it, I think, on her Xbox. That's definitely a good one. Myself, I tend to have a backlog of small games because for me, the Sims are not like the Sim type games like Coral Island and Stardew Valley. They tend to engross me. And it works well if you need to be distracted for like a long play ride or things like that. But if it's for winding down after, like, let's say a day, like a, you know, like in the Netherlands, visiting something like the Rijksmuseum, which is like an art gallery, and you spent 3 hours walking around looking at art, I don't want to come back to my hotel and farm and think about crops and management. I tend to prefer the narrative experiences, like the interactive novels. So, of course, Oxenfree that I just finished, Firewatch, amazing game, also available on everything. I need to play Venba. I think Venba would be a good one because it's also like it can be done in 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, that'd be a great one. Like if you're sitting, like if you're on a train or a plane or a car, that's a great one to get really just dive into because the gameplay is fairly simple, but the story is so compelling. Like, I don't know if I'd want to start something like that at night, but if I know I got hours to kill, that would be a great way to do it. That's like the perfect type of gameplay, and it's also the perfect length. Like 4 hours. Like, that's just ideal.
See, yeah, that's like pretty much a plane ride across the Atlantic, and then and then you have 2 hours to watch a movie on top of that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's something where you can have that diversity, right? Where you're like, I can play this game and I can finish it, and it will be a great experience. And then if I feel like watching a movie or doing any other like reading or taking a nap, like it's something that you're going to feel good doing and it'll be enriching, and then you can do something else.
Yeah. Because I was playing with the idea of like maybe I brought my, I forget what it's called. It's the thing by Razer. It's the thing I put on my phone and it becomes like a controller.
Like a
backbone. And it turns, Yeah. Yeah. And it turns my phone into like a Switch. Razer Nishi. They all have like animal snake names, if I remember correctly. But I, with the intention of possibly playing continuing my save of Coral Island through cloud, but I was quickly stopped by the quality of the Wi-Fi where I was. There was no high speed, and also like I was like, I'm not trucking. Because I also had the idea of maybe trekking my laptop, because I have a gaming laptop.
Yeah.
And I checked, and you can play Horizon offline.
Yeah.
You just have to be careful, not, like I said, be careful with your cloud save, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that once you do connect back, like it overwrites, your cloud. Yeah. And you don't lose your progress. But I was like, I am not bringing a full-on computer, like that is not something I want to do on vacation.
Yeah,
like the temptation to log into work, or like you can't fully disconnect,
right?
If I'm bringing my whole ass computer.
Yep.
I'm not talking about a laptop that I have, says I take some, like this is like my main computer. This is my computer.
Yeah, it's so tempting, right? To be like, oh, I'll just do this, or I'll just do that. Or if you get any notifications or whatever, like I'm with you. Like if I know I need to unplug and I'm not going to do any remote work, like I want to leave anything that reminds me of work at home where I am not tempted.
Exactly.
So notifications on my phone, it's just like I'm done.
And for those who are like regulars of the podcast, they're like, don't you have a Switch? Why didn't you bring it? We did bring it. My spouse used it. He played Dredge.
Nice.
And he loved it. And he said, I think you'll like it. And I'm pretty sure Leah will like it. And I'm like, I think Leah played it, or it's been on her list for a while. And so because he was his two things was playing Dredge on the Switch, and he had his e-reader with him, and he was reading a novel. I had every intention of going maybe to the library or using the library apps to get a book, but I was not in the mood to read, so I didn't do that. So I played Oxenfree on my iPad, and I used my iPad to doodle, because I have Procreate and a pencil, and in the evening, I also sorted through my photos a lot. And then on the plane home, I used the interactive screen to play Angry Birds.
Nice.
They had Angry Birds on the flight entertainment system. I hadn't played that in a hot minute.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that I actually love that Netflix does with the iPad, is that you can get games through Netflix, which I love, because if I'm going somewhere, I love bringing my iPad because I have my Kindle account on there. So if I have ebooks, I don't mind reading off my iPad as long as I have my blue light glasses. It's a little bit easier to charge, too, and it holds a charge a little bit better than the Switch.
The battery life on these things are impressive.
For Apple, yeah. Especially for
Apple. Just in general, because like mine takes forever to charge. I think the battery is huge, but the battery life on it, even after being a 2019, something I bought in 2019, the battery life is still A1. Like my iPad outlives the Switch.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that outlives my iPad is an actual like Nintendo DS, because those things were like the kings, right?
Yeah.
Unbeatable.
They are.
In terms of battery life. Mm. But yeah. Big fan of like when I'm at home, my iPad does not get a lot of love when I'm at home, but when I travel, something like a tablet that you can use, you know, even if it's offline, you can load it with a few games.
Yep.
Especially with Netflix having games. Yep. I also downloaded episodes of Netflix. Like, I finally caught up on some a series I wanted to watch called Young Royals, which is like a teen drama happening in the royalty in Sweden, I want to say. Amazing. It's like trash TV, but elevated. Highly recommend. Yeah, it's just like a bunch of teen. It's just a bunch of kids falling in love, and like one of them's a prince, and he's going to be the crown, and oh no, he falls in love with a boy, and
oh no, clutch, scandal,
pearl clutching, and I was just like, this is perfect, like just scandal.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I'll kind of go to the Switch now, but unless, like, kind of looking forward, I have a lot of games on my Steam wish list and library where I think now if I was to take a trip and I didn't have a Switch specific game that I wanted to play, I probably would make sure that the iPad is charged up, you know, make sure I have a pretty beefy battery that I can, you know, plug the Ally in. And I'm probably gonna do that just because the Ally is so comfortable and so easy to use. So I just love that I have all those options now. And so I think now it'll be probably until the new Switch comes out, just because it just takes so, it's a little clunky. But yeah, I think it's wonderful that we have all these options for gaming and entertainment on the go. Like, it's spoiled.
Yeah. Because when I looked through Netflix to get some games, I ended up like getting Oxenfree and Rainbow Six Small, and I did play a bit of Small once I got Wi-Fi, and it was like entertainment. But it's like, just through Netflix, you can get, like, on your mobile device, you can get Hades, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. That one is an amazing game. I played on it on Xbox with my friend, but it's great. But like, you also have like Dead Cells. Of course, we talked about Oxenfree. There's a Lego game, you know, Lego Legacy.
Oh yeah, the Lego games are great. Yeah. And they're long.
Yeah,
so the Lord of the Rings one, that one's great. And the Star Wars ones, those are great. The Marvel one I enjoyed. And those are great games to play through a level, because sometimes they're lengthy. So you can play a level and kind of be done and wait to continue the story, or you can just dive right in.
And like, if you're at the hotel kind of bored one night, they have stuff like Heads Up.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I chose this topic because I reconnected with mobile gaming because of the travel. And I feel like, especially nowadays that you have, you know, I talked about a lot about Netflix because I have that subscription. But I know that Google Play and Apple make subscriptions as well for you to get apps and games that way. And I think if, like, your mobile is your gaming platform of choice, they look like they're worth it. Like, I didn't subscribe to them because I don't play on my phone enough. Because, like I said, my commute now is short. I don't commute as much, but also it is short. Like, I don't spend a lot of time just like sitting in a train. When I had a longer commute, I was definitely playing more mobile games. So I tend to be towards more like Game Pass, or just full on getting something on Switch. And I all that to say, if you're traveling, just little bit of planning, little look at your backlog.
Yeah.
What are those, like, snackable games that you haven't had time to play? Like, everybody says you should have played Firewatch or Oxenfree, like me. Or what are, like in Joel's case, what are the games that you want to bring to just go back to because they're comforting and you don't need to think about it?
Yep.
You can just rediscover. And I think if I start to travel more, I might look into a Steam Deck or an Ally. They're starting to look way more tempting.
Mm-hmm. Now that I've experienced two, I will say that, like, I haven't picked up my ally in a little while. That's because I've been playing a lot of games that have been centered around the PlayStation or the Switch. But I will say, like, I love that I have it, and I know that I'm going to be playing it a lot. Like, I'm just like, oh, because I don't play it every single day consistently doesn't mean I'm not going to – I don't regret it at all. Like, I know I love that I have that option, and that I can also dock it for the ally, and it works on my TV. So that if I want to start, you know, Dave the Diver, that I can put it on the ally and throw it on the TV, and then if I go somewhere, I can take it with me. Like, I love that. Like, that's – again, I just – it's amazing. So, yeah, I think – and it seems like a lot of the handhelds there's so much choice now that you can get one that's going to fit your lifestyle and kind of the level of customization that you're looking for and what kind of games you like to play. So it's really up to you and kind of what you're looking for. So it's just, again, we're in the great age of handheld, another golden age of handheld gaming. It's wild.
Yeah. Just the fact that mobile gaming in itself became.
Yeah.
Something that's incredible that you can play games like Hades, because I do remember playing a Supergiant Games. It was Bastion that I played on my iPad, which also was originally a PC game. Mm-hmm. On top of that, having like the handheld devices, and again, just make sure the game you pick in that wonderful can be played offline.
Yes.
If you want to play on the plane. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm sure Rainbow Six Small is an amazing game. I almost played it. I almost got to play it, but it was a poor choice. I should have checked. Those types of games with like levels and microtransaction and unlocking characters, I should have I should have clued in that it was not an offline game.
Yeah, it's all right.
But it's all right. I had Oxenfree. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this long, rambly episodes where I tried to keep it together.
You did.
But the jet lag did kick in.
You did great. You did great. Better than I would have done.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give people the chance to shout their social media so you can follow them. Joelle, where can people find you?
People can find me at JoelleLauren87 on Instagram or gamer_comfy on X. But always saying hello and trying to keep up with the great content on the Girls on Games Discord. Come and say hi.
If you want to follow me, if you want photos of my trip, they're on Instagram. I'm at CSDSBINS over there. I'm at CSDBA on everything, including X and threads and stuff like that. But you can always find me on the Girls on Games Discord, discord.me/girlsongames. But you want to follow Girls on Games because we're cool and we put out episodes like this every week. Mm-hmm. You can find Girls on Games, we're the Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook, just Girls on Games on Instagram and Threads. Of course, we mentioned a Discord, that's discord.me/girlsongames. But everything you need to know is always on girlsongames.ca, and that's where we also have the show notes that I usually put together, but now Joelle can help me.
Yes, I can. Yes, I didn't break anything, or at least no one told me. So, hey, I see that as a win.
Yeah. And if ever you're listening on a podcast platform that you're listening this episode lets you do something like rate or review, please do so. It helps us. Rating and reviewing helps us go up in the ranking, but also, like, if you have constructive feedback, we're always open to feedback on this little rambly show that we have. So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. I think Leah's back next week. I forget.
She is. Yes. I selfishly was like, are we all going to be back next time? And as long as she, safe travels back from Mexico and, you know, no illness, we should all be back together.
All right. So we'll catch you guys next week. And until then, happy gaming. Bye, everyone.
Bye.